shall be learning Simon Resh Mem Hei, starting from Seif Aleph. And the following Simon is discussing the halachas of Yisrael, ve'en Yehudi Shutfin, Ichis Nagu B'Shabbos. So this is his Shutfus, a genuine partnership between a Yid and a Goy. So a slightly different concept than what was discussed in the earlier Simon, which was you're asking a Goy to do some work for you, he's acting on your behalf. This is slightly different. This is because you've got a shutfus already, and truthfully, to have a shutfus, a partnership with a goy, has different halachas, and these are the ones that are discussed in this siman over here. So, the halacha is as follows. Yisrael ve'en Yehudi Seif Aleph. A yid and a goy, she'esh laim sode, where they own together a field, which derive profit from it. Oy sanu, or an oven. Oymech, that's a bathhouse, which they charge for every entrance. Oyechaim shalmaim, or they have a mill together, a water mill together, b'shutfus as a partnership. Oyshem shutfim b'chanus, or they have a shop together, b'schoiro with merchandise. Now, there's a problem over here. So the problem is, what are they going to do about Shabbos? So obviously, the yid is not allowed to work on Shabbos, and you've got a problem over here. So what is going to be about? What are they going to do about Shabbos? He's not allowed to derive any profit from profit that is earned on Shabbos. So the Mishneh Berurah straightway tells us, and we're going to see that now, that as follows: Yisrael ben Yehudi, da. You should know the Hetu Gomuhu. It is perfectly permitted him beima Yisrael yesh lo is esig or malocha b'shutfus imen Yehudi. If the Yid has got a genuine partnership with the Goy, sheyasnu mitchila, that they should stipulate a condition and agreement initially, koydem shol loikhin b'shutfus, before they even start their partnership, and they could do the following: they could say and state clearly that avoid atu b'Shabbos. Shabbos, the Yid tells the Goy, you are going to work. V'tikach, and you should take kefi melachtecho. You should earn all the profits from Shabbos. They shall be yours only. Hein rav, whether it's a lot or me'at, or if it's little. V'ani avoid kenegdecho yemechot b'chol. And I'm going to take a different day. Say Wednesday, Tuesday. I'm going to take the other, which is going to be purely mine. B'chol, on a weekday, v'etol kefi melachti, and I'm going to earn that day only what's mine. So you're going to take the Shabbos, which is only going to be yours, and I'm the Yid, I'm going to take another day which is completely mine, and I'm generally going to take all the profits from that day, just like you are going to take generally all the profits from Shabbos. V'shas chaluk, and when we're going to split the earnings, the Goy is going to take the earnings of the Shabbos, and the Yid is going to take the profits from the other day. That's a little or a lot. But if this stipulation was not agreed initially, and nothing was agreed initially, and at the end when they share the profits, then the Yid says to the Goy, turn out to connect Amol Cho b'Shabbos, and then they say, okay, you know what, on Shabbos actually, if they didn't agree that initially, but this is just an agreement they do post factum, also, that's certainly also, it has to be a really hisnu mitchilot, have to agree initially, and stipulate this very, very clearly from the beginning. Now this is, so this is clear, but what we have to know. Now the Shulchan Aruch says, I'm carrying on where I stopped. If they agreed initially, if they agreed initially, when they made the shutfus, that they agreed that all the schar Shabbos is going to be for the goy only, whether it's a little or a lot, on a different day, and the schar of another day, which is going to be for the Yid only, that motto, that's permitted. So as we just explained, Mishneh Berurah, that is clearly okay, but that's only if it's agreed from the beginning, before they even started. The reason for the Issa is explained in Sifkoten Aleph in Mishneh Berurah. He says that if you don't stipulate this clearly from the beginning, it's ki'ilu oy maloy, it's as if you say, I'm in the middle of Sifkoten Aleph, it's as if you're actually appointing him a shliach. And that is certainly also. You're appointing him to work for you on Shabbos. And there is Chal Shabbos, earnings from profit made on Shabbos. And that is certainly also. Shulchan Aruch continues, top of page 14. Ve'im lo yisnu mitchila, bitchila. What happens if they didn't make that agreement when they started the shutfus? What happened if they didn't? They failed to agree on anything in terms of Shabbos. And now they want to, he didn't work on Shabbos, but they have now profits from 7 days a week, and they want to, what are they going to do about it? So the Shulchan Aruch says, if they didn't agree from the beginning of the Shutfus, when they are about to split the profits, what they have to do then is they have to do the following. They have to agree on the goy taking all the profits. The goy is going to take the profits, all the profits taken from Shabbos. So they have to now divide all the profits into seven. 1/7 the goy is going to take, and the remaining 6/7 are going to divide into two, half for the yid and half for the goy. All the profits being made on Shabbos is going to, or rather 1/7 of all the profits is going to go straight to the goy. They could have avoided it if they would have stipulated, as explained earlier. If they have no idea how much was earned on Shabbos, ideally what they should do is they should exactly define and find out and identify how much was earned on Shabbos, and that those earnings, like say for instance in a shop, and they have clear records how much was sold on Shabbos, so those earnings should be then go straight to the goy. If they haven't got clear records how much was made on Shabbos, then they should do what I just mentioned now, but as a seventh going to the goy, and the rest divided half. So that's the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah disagrees and is actually more makel. I wonder if it has to do with the fact that the Ramah lived in Kirka, where it was more common to have partnerships with goyim in Europe. More so than where the Rebbe of Kao lived in Tzfas, where there were fewer, where the percentage of Yidden was much higher. So it could be that the Ramah was more forced to be Mekel because of the social circumstances. Maybe, perhaps, who knows? The Ramah says that there is room for leniency. Even if they didn't stipulate initially, there's more room for leniency. Even if they didn't make a clear agreement for Chol Kustam, then it's that they are Mekilim, and you could be Mekil, says the Ramah. Venireli, perhaps if God is Mechalais, if there's a great financial loss, you could be Mekil, even if it wasn't stipulated clearly. So the Shulchan Aruch was only Mekil in terms of, you should find out how much was, if you didn't make an agreement initially, you should find out how much was sold on Shabbos, and if not, you do a seventh goes to the goy, and then the rest is half. The Ramah is Mekel, and he says you don't need to do that, but the Evet, you can just do half. Nearly, yeah, if it is a hefset merubah. The Ramah continues. So some say that it is only b'shutfas in a partnership b'shkol echot oisek b'yoymoy, that everybody's got. It's a shutfas, is a kind of partnership, but a kind of business that everybody's got his day. But if it is a joint, the style of business, the type of business is that they're all together. It's not about half. It's everybody doing everything together, and it's not a split. It's not easy to split because everything is done together. And on Shabbos, is only the goy who is earning, and then mutar lachlok im kol aschar. Then it's easier to be makel, says the Ramo, because it's not half literally about merchandise, but it's everybody's involved in everything. Then it's more leaning to be to the half profit share at the end. Then Yehudi adat and afsheka of it. Then Yisrael nene bebenachto b'shabbes kivin she'ena melocha muteles alav lasois. Vein Yisrael nene bemanachto b'Shabbos kim shel hamelach muteles ov lasois mikol mokum lo yitol tzchar Shabbos ele ba'avloim shar yomim. So the point that the Rambam is making over here is that since the goy is very independent on Shabbos, so ultimately all the earning is not working. There's no tzchar Shabbos shail over here because the goy is doing everything adat and afshei for himself. He's doing it for himself. Ultimately, he knows he's going to benefit from it. Now, it is true that what's going to happen is that there will be afterwards a havlah, and it will be swallowed up with the Yiddish prophet. But when he does the work, the goy is doing it purely for himself. He's got no direct agenda to benefit the Yid. So since he's doing it completely for himself, the Ramo is makel, and he says there is no issue because he's doing it for himself, even if ultimately the Yid will benefit from it as well to some extent. But since that is not why the goy is working, therefore there is room for leniency. So again, the Shulchan Aruch was more machmir, and he held that if it was not stipulated in advance, you must divide. The Yid must not take the profits taken on earned on Shabbos. You have to take a seventh away from the profits of the Yid. He can't get benefit from that. Only the goy. The Rama is more lenient, and he said, but the Eved, it can be the profit of Shabbos can be shared. Save base. Hecha sheisnu betchila. If it was stipulated in advance, a conditional agreement was made in advance. So what happened was that they made initially an agreement that any profits made on Shabbos is just for the goy. And then it could be that the goy at the end said, you know what, I can't be bothered with this cheshbon. I can't be bothered. Let's just do right across all the profits. Let's do half-half. So Shulchan Aruch says, Mutter, it's fine. The Yid doesn't have to insist and say, no, I don't know anything to do with it. No, the Yid is allowed to take the benefits if it is, if it was agreed that if initially it was stipulated, and at the end when it comes to it, decision was made to half it, right across, the Yid is allowed to take it, it's fine. The Mishnah Berurah does point out, however, very importantly, the last word of the page, Davka Sheritzu is Shelen Yudi Sheyechluk Beshove Bestome. Basically, what he said, it has to be initiated by the goy. It's not something that comes out from a cheshbon. If it is spontaneously suggested from the goy's side and goy's perspective, then the yid can accept it. Now, what happens if they didn't make the agreement at the beginning? So Yid and Goy made a shutfas and they knew nothing about it, and then suddenly they realized they have this partnership, and Yid suddenly realized, oh, that's not very good. He came to Dir Shoshir and he realized, oh, that's not right. I have a problem with Shabbos. So what is he meant to do now? Okay, so they were not Masna Mitchila, but they feel they have to sort it out now. Yesh tikkun, they can fix it up. They can rectify it at this point. By returning to the seller the money for the field, or they could sell it to a third party, and then they rebuy it. So they sell it, and they rebuy it. And now, whilst they're rebuying it, they're making this stipulation about Shabbos. So either they are selling it to the previous seller, or to a third party, it makes no difference. The point is that they're rebuying it, and I'm stipulating now, in this instance, the Shabbos clause. If they had a partnership with regards to a shop, and they never stipulated initially, we should buy all the items again. They should re-buy it, as it were. And he should take his portion. He should cancel the shutfas. Everything's taken back. He takes everything back, and the goy takes everything back. And they should reorganize, rearrange, and restart the partnership again whilst making that stipulation about Shabbos. And if they had a field, which was the field was a partnership in the field. They should cancel off the shituf, the partnership. They should be moichel one another. Here again, they should cancel off the agreement and restart again, and make that stipulation about Shabbos. So what you could also do is you could just rent out your part with regards to Shabbos in a Kabbalah's agreement, as was discussed in Simon Reish Mem Dalet. And it can be as discussed there about the taxes and about the minting of coins. You had to do that perhaps at Merubah. The Kolchkin can the Shorim Shutfas in Yehudi. That's slightly difficult to understand in Zermor, because over there it is a slightly different agreement. Also, it's only Mutter with only perhaps at Merubah. So it's a bit hard to understand Islam. But let's come and see if Dalit. Okay, this is very relevant, because this is actually this is investments. So the Yid has given the Goy money, Mois, Lesasikman, to invest. The Goy, he's taking that money, is investing it on Shabbos. Whose money is it? It's Yiddish money. But he's investing it on Shabbos. What are you meant to do? They should divide the gains, the earnings, half-half. So the halacha that Shulchan Aruch says, it's that it's fine. Since it is not evident and not clear whose money that is, when he's investing it on Shabbos, nobody knows whose money it is. So therefore, it's fine, because there's no Maris Ayin here. So since the agreement wasn't really, it's not specifically about making money on Shabbos, he's allowed to invest the money throughout the entire week. In fact, he's meant to invest the money and work with it the entire week. So there's no Shaila per se, that's Havlah. Right, if he can invest it all week, it's Havlah. It's not only on Shabbos. Goy can use it throughout the entire week. So the only potential problem would be Maris Ayin. But it's not Maris Ayin, because nobody knows whose money it is. If you're using a money, nobody will suspect that it's money which belongs to a Yid. Therefore, there is no Maris Ayin in terms of investments. Continues the Ramah. It's not recognizable whose money it is, and therefore the goy can invest Yiddish money on Shabbos, and you can just divide the profit. This is only if the goy is not alone investing the money. So he said that if there's an agreement that everybody has one day to invest the money, so Moshe has Monday and the Goy has Tuesday, and the Yid has the next day, and back the Goy has the next day. If it's like that kind of agreement, then you've got a problem, because that means that the Goy is asked specifically to work on Shabbos with the money, and that will be a problem. But if there is no set agreement and set days when the Yid and the Goy are working, if it's more fluid, then there's no Shaila, there's no problem of Schar Shabbos, and again, no problem of Maris Ayin either. This is a very important halacha, because this really is no gear to anybody who's got investments and gets interest which often is set for days, investments, which give you interest on a daily basis, or can be broken down into days. So there's no avlo here because it's set. It's a bit similar to the Ramah. It's set. You get back for you get interest for every day. So how are you going to do about Shabbos? You have interest coming in for Shabbos. And that's if you're asking the goy to invest the money specifically on Shabbos, which the Ramah says is also. It's a shaila, which is obviously very relevant. So Moshe, in Igros Moshe, discussed this shaila, and the essential point is that a calendar day is never in line with the Yiddish day. So if you're talking about a calendar day, it's from 12 to 12, 12 a.m. to 12 a.m. And Shabbos, obviously, it's from Tzitzit Kechom to Tzitzit Kechovim, and therefore, you've got really the Friday, and you've got the Motzah Shabbos, and the interests are given for those days. It's not completely poshet, because you've got 2 days Yom Tovim, but here again, he for emphasis, and then the problem would still be when you've got 3 days Yom Tovim. But the concept, the essential concept that Moshe is Mechadish, is that you have no problem of interest, generally speaking, in a bank, because the calendar day is not in line with the Issa of interest, because that's a Yiddish day, and that is at 12 a.m. to 12 a.m. Sif hey, mutar yisraelitim schoyer len yehudi limkoyer. Okay, you're giving a flat rate. You're giving an item, mutar yisrael, sif hey, mutar yisraelitim schoyer, you're giving merchandise to the goy, limkoyer to sell, and kotzes lo yischar. So you're giving a items, merchandise to a goy to sell with a flat rate. You're allowed to do that. Why not to do that? Bilvad shelo yom aloy mechoyer b'shabbos. As long as you know, making it clear that he should sell the merchandise on Shabbos, it's fine. You can sell it anytime, and you've given a flat rate. So, it's fine. The Mishnah Berurah does clarify that you can't do that what happens if the market day is dafka on Shabbos? You're giving him certain merchandise, which is always sold on Shabbos, because that's the market day. So then you have a problem. Because don't tell me you obviously had in mind Shabbos, because that's the market. If you've got Chav Aleph, Yom HaShukah b'Shabbos, Afilu b'Stoma also. Even if you said it's time, it's also the Avikilu Oma Mecholi b'Shabbos. As if you actually stipulate and say, okay, you sell it to me on Shabbos. But if there is no market day, it's really free. You can sell it whenever you want. It's fine. And the reason Mishnah Berurah explains if cotton chav, no, Ozamrin on the diet, the nafshe of Veinu Kishtuch, he's not a messenger, he's not a shliach of the Yid. He can sell it whenever he wants. There's a flat rate over here, and therefore it's permitted. Tano shelok, last line, bottom line. Tano shelok Yisrael mashkel mein Yehudi. If a oven was hired, the kibdol of a Yehudi, this is an oven. An oven which really belonged to a goy, but the Yid had it as a guarantee, as a mashkin, from a goy. So this oven belongs to a goy. But the Yid got it as a mashkin, as a guarantee, on a loan. And now, in order to make money from this, he gave it to a goy who's earning money from renting out, from subletting this, it's not called subletting, whatever it's called, this oven for every usage. So it belongs to a goy in the hands of a yid, and now passed on to a goy. And the goy is obviously going to pay for the hiring out fee, is going to give money to the yid. So muta little schar b'shabbos, muta it is permitted a little to take schar shabbos, to take money for the schar shabbos. Lifishu b'shus ha'in Yehudi, because ultimately, well, it belongs to a goy, and it is in the hands of a goy now. Shu b'shus ha'in Yehudi ve'ein Yisrael chelik boy, it doesn't really belong to the Yid. V'gam in Yisrael oyim alo asrik b'shabbos, and also the Yid never really asked him to work on Shabbos; could do it any time. V'in Yehudi ki kotorach ben afshei torach lekaim tnoi. And the goy is working in order to make some katorach manafshei katorach lekaim tnoi. He is earning for himself, really, to make some money himself. So that's why it's permitted. Sivav, finally, the last siman of the last sif of the siman, im of enem yudim betarun shel sol b'shabbes. A yid had an oven, and goyim used the oven on Shabbos al kochoy without his permission. So the goyim just used it; they broke into the oven and they used it, and it's a yiddish oven. And they gave him the bread instead of paying for it. They just threw the bread into his face and say, here, that's the payment for using the. They don't want to be thieves at the end of the day. Also, then as a man who did not have any benefit from it, because it's Schar Shabbos. He's not allowed to have any benefit from his oven having been used on Shabbos. Now the Mishnah Berurah explains that obviously it's not just if they pay him by giving the bread. Similarly also, Vadin im nosnoi loy mois also likabel mehem. It's always if they pay for it. Even if they come after having baked the bread and they give him £5, he still can't take it. Makes no difference if they're paying him £5 or they're giving him the bread. Either way, he's not allowed to take and receive and have ano from bread baked, from goyim baking, utilizing the oven on Shabbos Kodesh, because this would be Schar Shabbos. So the maaser that happened was with bread, and that's what they gave him. But the same would apply with anything else as well. Okay, to recap what was covered in this shir, Simon Resh Mem Hei. We learned the concept of a shutfus, a partnership between a yid and a goy. We learned that if there is a clear stipulation that all the earnings made on Shabbos goes to the goy and all the earnings of Tuesday is the yid. If that was agreed in advance, that's the best, and that's ideal, and that's fine. We learned if that didn't happen, then according to Shulchan Aruch, by the Eved, you've got a problem, and you have to try to locate and identify and find out exactly what was earned on Shabbos. That will then go to the Goy, and that's really what should be taking place. If you can't work out exactly how much was earned on Shabbos, you do a seventh of all the profits go to the Goy, and the rest is divided half-half. The Ramah is more makel. And the Ramah holds that, but yeah, but it's fine, even if no stipulation was made. We learned that, that this is the concept of Havlah. Yeah, if the Goy post-factum is... he says, oh, forget it, can't be bothered, religious to half-half, right across... the Yid is allowed to accept it. If they made a partnership and then they Peshas Maisa, whilst they made the partnership, they didn't realize that they need to make a condition about Shabbos, a clause about Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch gives us various etzes how to deal with it, and all of them are based on the concept that they need to cancel off the partnership, restart again. So press the restart button and start the partnership with that Shabbos clause. Sivdala told us that if money is invested, Yiddish money is invested on Shabbos, there is no problem of Maris Ha'ain, no problem of Kablonus, no problem of Maris Ha'ain, because nobody knows whose money it is, and therefore there's no problem with Schar Shabbos. This is, however, only if it's Havlah, if it's included in other days as well. It's not specifically money invested on Shabbos, if it's like free. But if it's clear that the money is being invested on Shabbos, then you've got a problem, says the Ramah. And that's why we spoke about potentially banks and investments. Sif Hei taught us about flat rates with regards to merchandise being sold, and you're earning a flat rate by selling it all. We learned that is acceptable as long as you have no clear... it's not clear that it's being sold and being handled on Shabbos, like on a market day. We also learned about if it's being forcefully, goyim are using the oven, which is a yid's oven on Shabbos, and without permission, and they want to pay for it, he's not allowed to take money for it. Yeah, that's Simen Resh Mem Hei. Next year will be on Simen Resh Mem Hei. Be'ezah Hashem, Yisbarach Shemrei.